Good morning again. Good morning. If you would, if you have your Bibles, please stand and turn to Colossians, first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and we'll read 13 and 14. So when you get there, say amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen. This morning I want to talk about God has no favorites. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you this morning, Father God, to allow you to increase, Father God, as I decrease, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I ask you to allow the Holy Spirit, Father God, move in solid rock, Father God. Touch each person name by name and one by one, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we just ask you to bless Pastor Anthony, Father, lift him up. Allow your Holy Spirit to embrace him, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, I just thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to preach your word, Heavenly Father. And Father God, we just stand and give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I want to ask you, why don't some people believe that their faith in God will work? See, some Christians have faith in others. They do not believe, they have confidence that their own faith in God will work. For some reason, they do not believe in themselves. They do not believe in what God or Christ have done for them. They do not believe in who and what they are in Christ. See, this kind of thinking defeats anyone. We don't know the truth. When we don't know the truth of God's word, Satan can rob us of all of our blessings. See, God intended us to have and enjoy ourselves in Christ. This is a Bible fact. God is our Heavenly Father and does not have any favorite children. He loves every one of us with the same love. You see, sometimes our natural parents, believe it or not, they have their own favorite child. But see, God doesn't have any favorites. Get that fact down in your mind, in your spirit, and saying it out loud. God has no favorites. So every person born in the family of God has the same redemption. You are not any more saved than I am. And I'm not any more saved than you are. See, somehow in Christian faculty thinking, we assume that another Christian has more than they do. So yes, somebody else may be in the light. And they may be walking in the light. But everyone born into the family of God enjoys the same redemption. See, the child of God has been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Every one of us has. Satan was conquered personally for you and for me. Romans 4:25 reads, he was delivered over to death and for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Another translation reads, he was delivered upon our account of our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. See, it's mine and yours. It's belonged to us. We can make that personal. And I prove that. Look at your hand. Look at your hand. Now, every individual has your own handprint. Nobody else the same handprint than your next door neighbor. This right here is an example. This right here is living proof that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He is imprinted in your hand. You are mine, and I want a personal relationship with you. See, we take God's blessings. We take his redemptions lightly. Every day, look at your hand. He's mine. When you wash your hands, he's mine. How many of us have thought about that? See, Satan has no right to rule us with sin, sickness, or anything else that belongs to him. The redemption belongs to every believer. And it's my personal property. It's your personal property. And he cannot take that away from you. See, you can confidently say, he delivered me out of the power of darkness. My mouth get dry up here. We can say confidently that he has delivered us out of the darkness. And we can also say with bold, God delivered me out with the authority of this darkness. And he has translated us into the kingdom of God. We cannot, there's no way that we can deny it. It's a fact. It's biblical. And you have to believe it within your heart, within your spirit. See, this redemption is personal. I keep saying that. And we have to embrace it. We have to clothe it. We have to consume it. And we have to confess it. He does not have dominion over us anymore. Satan is not our Lord. Our master is Jesus Christ. See, the Bible teaches us that Jesus put Satan to naught. And he triumphed over him. Colossians 2:15. It reads, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Now, what Christ disarmed on the cross was an embodiment of rebellion in the world, whether by Satan and his demons, false idols, pagan religious, and even evil world governments. See, this disarming occurred when Jesus died on the cross. Like stripping a soldier in the battlefield of his armor. See, evil no longer has any power over the believers because Christ has disarmed them. We say that. But do we believe it? Because if we say that the evil doesn't control us or have any over us, then why do we panic? Why are we fearful? Why are we scared when we come before life problems, issues? If we say that he is an overcomer, we are overcomer. Why do we have fear? Why do we have anxieties? Why are we so depressed? It's because we do not believe these words. Because the word, church, that's a fact. You accept it. You believe it. You embrace it. You don't fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. And we as redemption, why should we be fearful? Because he's not personal. See, you have to understand that when Christ disarmed Satan, or when Christ died on the cross, it was us who was on that cross because he substituted for us. That makes sense. So if we died on the cross, why should we be fearful? If we died on a cross with him, why should we have depression? If we died on the cross with him and he substituted for us, why are we so disunited? First John 4:4. It says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Now, you know, it's easy to be frightened by the witness that we see all around us. It's easy to be scared, worried, have anxieties because of what's in front of us. Look at the world the way it is today. You see, evil's much stronger than we are, because John assures us that. But you got to understand there's one little slight difference. There's one little slight, just a little thing. God is greater. He's stronger. But we don't want to accept that fact. Or do we? If we say that we are redeemed, if we say that we are true Christian, if we say that I believe in that God because he is greater than me, then why can't we be what Scripture tells us? God has no favorites. Whether you're the president or whether you're a street sweeper. The problem is in the church is that Christians got to put people on a pedestal. If you got money, if you got prestige, or if you got power, that's not redemption. That's flesh. He's already conquered the evil. So why can't we embrace that, church? Why can't we accept that, church? Why can't we believe that, church? Amen. His word lives in our hearts. Well, it should live in our hearts. His words is our comfort. His words, they're our strength. His words is our encouragement. His words give us boldness. His words ease all doubts, all frustrations, all weakness. But church, you got to embrace it. You got to accept it. You know, I can say this all day long, but until you embrace it, until you accept it, until you believe it in your heart, I can't make you believe it. The only one that can make you believe is the Holy Spirit. But you got to believe the Holy Spirit is in you. Because we all have the same redemption. God has no favorites. This is not a class system, church. God doesn't have classes. God has believers. Well, who is them that have overcome? We can find this in the first three verses of John, 1 John chapter 4. And it reads, 1 John chapter 4, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Church, I'm almost finished. I'm not long-winded. Notice, he did not say, "We are going to overcome them." He said, "We have overcome them." What did it say? Wait a minute, let's go back. What did it say? "We have overcome." Not when, not if, not maybe. They said, "We are going to overcome." He said, "We have overcome them." How can we overcome the demons? How can we overcome them? Because aren't we afraid? Are we scared? Are we weak? Because what? Because of who we are in Christ. It is so easy, but we make it so hard. It's unbelievable. What did he do? He substituted for us. He did it in my place, and he did it in your place. So you should not have a fear. Let me rephrase that. We should not have a fear or a spirit of fear. We should not have a spirit of doubt. We should not have a spirit of discouragement or depression or sickness. But until you claim it, embrace it, you walk around, "Oh me, oh my, what I'm going to do. Help me, Lord, please." Because it's funny, because sometimes we don't know that we have overcome. We don't know what the Bible says about it. When we know what the Bible says, when we know what it says, we can exercise that faith, not for somebody else to exercise it for us. We depend on too many people to exercise our faith when we should be exercising our own faith. We all been redeemed, and we all have the same faith. But you got to walk out on that faith. You got to build that faith. It's like flowers. You got to pour water on those flowers. Well, you got to feed yourself in order for your faith to grow. It's not going to grow sitting idle with this clothes. I'm about ready to sum up. Every one of God's children can enjoy the blessings that he has provided for us. When we exercise our faith in God according to his word, we receive his promises. God, our Heavenly Father, has no favorites. He loves each and every one of us the same. Whether you white, black, red, green, yellow, purple, he loves you the same. And until we can embrace that love that he has for us, until we can walk out on that love that he has for us, we will always be where we are now. We talk it, but we don't walk it. We talk it, but we don't enforce it. We talk it, but we don't act it. It's a big difference. You can talk all day long, but until you walk out there and show that you are redeemed, that you are a child of God, that you are saved, it's none but lip service. And church, all I want to leave today, and hope you don't forget it, God has no favorites. Remember this handprint. Remember this fingerprint that you have. You don't have one like mine. This is my fingerprint. This is my redemption. You can't take it away from me. He can't take it away from me. Nobody can take it away from me because God has given that to me. And he has given it to you. And you got to believe it, you got to confess it, and you got to stand on it. Again, church, God has no favorites. Get that in your mind, get that in your heart. And then maybe if you could do that, maybe we can embrace each other. Maybe we can love on each other. Maybe we can work together and be as one, because that's what we are, and no favorites.